Good morning.
Good night.
No. That's what I wanted to say to my dad many times when he woke me up early in the morning and said, "Dad, Brian, it's time to go to work." I'm like, "What, Dad? It's summertime. I'm supposed to be having fun, and you're going to take it's time to go to work?" I was 12 years old, and I became basically full-time volunteered to be part of my dad's business. Now, I grew up in a family business. My father built a company. Basically, he was laid off during the 80s, and he started said, "Well, I'm going to have to build my own company to be able to pay the bills." And so he says, "Brian, guess what? You get to be part of the family business." And one of the things that families as a business have are a lot of contracts, right? Anybody ever signed a contract before? If you rented a house or buy a car, you have contracts. And so my father was, I learned a lot about contracts growing up. Make sure you read the fine print, right? You want to make sure you read the fine print because you want to know what you're getting into. You need to make sure you know the details. My father owned his own business. My uncles had businesses. And my grandmother, at 80 years old, was running a town for the mayor. Honestly, she was running the town, and nothing got done. And be careful to sign because any contract, because you want to be clear, what are the expectations? If you're getting into a contract, any relationship, make sure you have clear expectations about what you're getting into. It's very, very important to do that. Now, in a contract, that's important, but how about in a marriage? Is that important? Make sure you understand the contracts. Now, some of you have started dating. Anybody ever gone on a date before? Okay, a few of you have dated, right? I'm still dating my spouse. But in the South, I grew up in the South, and when I went on a date, and this surprised my wife the first time I was dating her. We were going over to the car, we were going to go on a date, and we were like, "Oh, he's so fun, he's so cute." And so we're going over there, and I'm sorry, she is still cute. And so we walk over the car, and I walked around to the side of her side of the car, the passenger side. And you know what I did? I opened the door for her. And you had not seen that very often before, right? It was strange. She's like, "Well, this is nice, but this is really different." See, where I grew up, the expectation was and is that you open a door for a lady. Period. There are no exceptions. That's what you do. And so if I open a door, that's part of my culture. That's part of my internal expectations of myself and growing up in the South, right? That's what's expected. There's no getting around it. If I didn't do that, oh my goodness, in the South, oh my. But you've got to know the expectations are. And also when it comes to marriage, if you're dating, you're looking forward to say, what kind of spouse do I want to marry? And so you're looking, what are the expectations? I know some people have a list. I was talking to a mother recently, and they had a list for their daughter. Write down the things you want to see in your future spouse. And if the guy doesn't have it, time to say goodbye. But know what the expectations are. Know what you're trying to get into, because everybody has expectations. And that's why I encourage, do marriage counseling. I won't even do a marriage unless the person has done marriage counseling either with myself or someone else, because it's about finding out what are the expectations, having conversation, having dialogue. Know what you're getting into. Know what's going on, because you want to have the best marriage possible, right? You want to have a great relationship going forward. So make sure you learn as much about the other person as possible. You're going to learn more, but make sure you know as much as possible. Today, we're talking a lot about expectations. Now, in our scripture today, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have a Bible, open it up, because you're going to want to look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We read it for our scripture, but it's chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. You've probably heard this, read this. Some of you may even have it memorized as many times as you have read it. But today I want to look at it from a very fresh eyes, as the eyes of someone who's looking at this and going, asking questions. Because I got in trouble in school because I asked, well, I didn't get in trouble in school. The teacher was like, "You have another question, Brian?" I was the student in the front of the class raising my hand. "I have a question." Oh boy, there goes another 10 minutes of class, Brian. So I have a question. So I like to look at things and go, why are they saying that? Help me understand this, because I don't get it. I want to understand. I want to get it. And so look at the scripture here. Verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread," okay, And when he had given thanks, we give thanks for bread, right, and food. That's good. All right. And he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my what? My body, which is broken for you. Now, I don't know about you, but someone talking about their body being broken, doesn't that sound a little weird? Come, really, it does, doesn't it? It sounds weird. Why would you say broken? Why wouldn't you say, I died, I'm going to, you know, pass away? Or why would you say broken? Now, we were going shopping yesterday with some of my student workers and a few other students. We were in town, and they're asking me, do you have toys that are broken? And I'm like, yes, I have plenty of toys that are broken around my house. We don't need to go shopping for those. We've got plenty of broken things. Because when you think of broken, you think of it won't work, it won't fix, it won't go in, it won't work. And so I've got plenty of broken things. And so this is a weird thing to use a word broken, broken. And then he goes on and says, this is my covenant that is in what? And he goes, let's see, verse 25, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, any of you get squeamish around blood? I mean, you see blood and it's kind of like, I know some people that will faint when they see blood. It's not a pleasant experience. And so, but here it talks about covenant. And a covenant is an agreement. It's got a contract where you basically, you want to understand both parties are trying to understand each other. And it's, are you really serious? A covenant is that really serious step. It's like a contract. It's that marriage certificate. You're going, okay, I'm very serious about a legally binding relational contract between two individuals or groups. But here's where it struggles. It's in blood. That just sounds a little weird. Why is it blood? I mean, I don't get too queasy when I see blood. I remember one time, it was a terrible event. I mean, I shouldn't tell it. I probably shouldn't tell it. But we were at a summer camp. And one of the summer camp, I was working on a boat as a lifeguard. And one of the rules we tell every single person is when the boat engine is running, don't jump off the back of the boat, right? Don't jump off the back of the boat because things can get really serious if you're jumping off the back of a boat when the engine is still running, the propellers are still going. And I was there, and one of the girls, she jumped off the back of the boat. And what happened was she got cut by the propeller on her leg, and it was definitely blood, but that wasn't the worst part. The worst part of it was her bathing suit got also caught up in the propeller itself, so it was actually holding her down underneath the water. And so we had to dive in and cut her free, and then cover her because she was bleeding. And some of the people on stage on the platform on the shoreline there was the people that we had to deal with afterward because they were getting queasy. They saw the blood and they were going, "Oh my goodness!" And we were like taking our shirt off, going, "Okay, we got to stop the bleeding." But it's blood. We normally don't see the idea of blood and seeing blood as a good thing, right? Blood's supposed to stay in the body, not outside of the body. And so this is definitely a struggle. But I want you to just come back with me because I ask questions. And many times what I find is that the beginning of the Bible, earlier on in the Bible, helps me understand what's going on and why the Bible uses certain words that it uses. So I want you to invite me, turn back here. And if you're squeamish around blood, I'm sorry. The text is quite bloody. So look with me back, Genesis chapter 15, verses 9 through 10, and also verses 17 through 18. Look back. This is something you heard a little bit earlier on this school year about, but I want you to go a little more detail on this connection. Pastor Spano did an excellent job on this, but I want to springboard off of that and continue on with it. But we have a lot of blood in this scripture, a lot of blood in this scripture. Now, In Genesis chapter 15, verses 9 through 10, let's go through it. And so it starts off and says, so he said to him, well, who is he and who is him? Well, you see here, in Abraham, and those who are my Bible class and patriarchs, you guys know a lot of this because we've already talked about in class about it. But we have here, Abraham is wrestling to understand God's plan for his life. He doesn't get it. He says, Lord, I've left my home, my family, my everything, and I've come here to this land where I don't know anybody, I don't know anything, and I want to know you. I want to know, can I trust you? Can I really trust you? Not just know there is a God, but actually believe God. Believe him. And when he says, I will do this, believe wholeheartedly that you will do it. And so he comes, and so he says, okay, here's where God says, okay, I want to show you I'm all in, that you can trust me, that I'm completely committed to you. He basically signs the contract. And what's amazing about this is we see that Abram doesn't have to sign the contract. In fact, God signs the contract for both of them. So that's a serious, so if there's any issue in a contract, if one person defaults, what happens? You have problems, right? There's penalties, there's problems, you may get kicked out, you don't pay your rent, there's issues. But he says, Abram's like, God will take on both. So in verse 9, so he said to him, God said to Abram, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. A lot of animals. And then he brought all these to him. So Abram got these animals and brought them to God and cut them into two, down the middle. So he's chopping these animals in half. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of what? Blood. Lots of blood. They're broken in two and separated on two different sides here. So he placed on each opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Verses 17 through 18 continues on. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark, and that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch. Now both of those things are symbols of God's presence. You can think of the burning what? Bush with Moses, right? Burning bush of Moses. You also have, after the Exodus, you have on Mount Sinai, you have God's presence in the form of what? Smoke, fire, and thunder, right? So we have both examples of the presence of God here. Now notice, on the same day, so a burning torch, that passed between those pieces. And on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants. And this is what he had been promising him. I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And so this is what he had promised. Abraham's been asking that question, Lord, how do I know that you actually do what you say you will do? And that's a struggle, right? In society today, how do we know if someone comes and is renting a building from you, or if you're in a job, how do you know you're going to get a paycheck? How many like getting paychecks? Oh my goodness, only two of you? Man, this is going to be awesome for finances around here. So a few of you like getting paychecks, right? But how do you know you're going to get a paycheck? You have an agreement with each other. And so it's important to know you have that agreement. Abraham wants to know, are you going to do what you say you're going to? Am I going to get this agreement? And so God wanted to have this relationship with Abraham where he trusted his word. He knew he could believe him wholeheartedly. And so what Abraham did was a covenant ceremony. It's called a blood path walk. And in that time and age, that was how you signed a contract. And you would have the two, the stronger and the weaker, that would walk through the middle. And as we see God taking on two personas, going through the middle, and the weaker and the stronger. And it was basically you had your agreement, and then you would walk through this, indicating that if the weaker, most of the time is the weaker, broke the contract, what would happen to the weaker? There would be blood, right? There would be blood, there would be destruction. In Genesis, actually, there is an example of four kings and five kings that attacked, and it was a lot of blood, a lot of blood. But in this case, when we look at this situation, God took the role of Abraham and of himself, the stronger and the weaker, and walked through signing the contract. So it's honestly to the point where God is completely responsible for any failure on the part of Abram. So if he fails, if he falls short, God says he will be broken. He'll be broken. He'll pay the penalty. He will die. He will take it upon himself, the consequences upon himself. In this contract, it's not equal grounds, right? Because God brings a whole lot more to this picture than Abraham ever could. And the wording here is that of granting rights, of privileges, of sovereign. But it's a covenant that is sealed with blood. And that's still a little weird for us, right? And we still think of blood, stay away. But This is a sign of seriousness of God, that God loves Abraham so much, and he wants this relationship so much that he's willing to take the penalty if the relationship falls apart for any reason. I'll take the penalty for it. Can you imagine if you got in trouble and you knew you were in trouble and you knew you were guilty and someone said, I'll take the penalty for you. I'll take it upon myself. I want to have this relationship so much, I'll take it upon myself. It's such a moving example of love. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, our passage for today. In light of Genesis 15, it talks about that being broken and what God was willing to do for us, that he was willing to be broken. It says that he was, Jesus' statement begins to have a deeper meaning, because it says that he was broken. He broke it. He broke the loaf of bread. And when we think of breaking, we don't think of unity, do we? We think of separation. But we hear God says breaking gives us a sign of unity. Because when something is broken, when we see Jesus on the cross broken for us, it is a hope and a blessing that God has paid the price so fully that we can be with him, that he wants that relationship so deeply that he's willing to lay down his life to be broken for you and for me. It's a powerful picture. He also goes on and says, take, receive the forgiveness, admitting that we have fallen short, that we have our struggles, but not just, okay, knowing this information. He says to us, go eat, right? Participate, be part of this. I want you to see and know this. There's a sacrifice going on here. I want you to have that, be part of this. Broken, to heal the divisions, to create a renewed relationship. And that's what God wants. He realizes that some of us look at our lives and go, man, I'm just broken. Lord can never love me. He can never accept me. But God says, no, I was broken so that I can bring healing and hope into your life. I was broken because I love you. And I know that you've done things and I've done things, he says to us. He says, but I come with open hands, showing that I was broken so that we could be one forever. The new covenant promise is that through the power of the Holy Spirit would come into our lives, that he would start working on us, changing us from the inside, not just our old self, but recreating ourselves. So it's not a list of do's and don'ts, but a thing that we come from our hearts, that we have a new self, where we think new thoughts. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to do that, he'll change us in powerful ways. And obedience is from the heart, as the Bible points out. It is not a list of do's and don'ts where I will myself to do better. But the question is, this is what God is saying, right? But do we want to accept this relationship with him? Do we want this relationship with him? Because we believe in the power of free choice, right? God so much, he so protects this freedom of choice that he was willing to die than to say, oh, you're going to do what I want to do. He says, I love you so much, I'm willing to die because you have free choice. And the question is, do we want to accept it? Do we want to embrace it? Because here today, we're looking at this and reminding ourselves, this is the covenant, this is the agreement, this is what God offers and what he wants us to have. And if we say, yes, I want that, how do we accept it? You know, in the Bible, after signing a contract, you would share a meal like Jesus did with his disciples. And we see that in the bread and the juice, because you never eat with your enemies, do you? You always eat with your friends. You always eat with those who you want to grow in your friendship with, your love, you care about. You don't eat with your enemies. But here, he says, it's a new covenant. When we take this bread, the juice, we're showing that we accept it, that it's important. As Jim was talking about earlier, open communion is that we as Christians, we invite those who are other Christians who believe in Jesus and accepted his relationship with him. We invite you to come because we've accepted and you've accepted and we want that, to celebrate that together, because we have Jesus and we all have Jesus and we love him. And we celebrate that together today and recommit to him today together. But we need to know, as in any contract, we need to know what we're getting into, right? So here are some of the terms. In any contract, there's the fine print. There's things, okay, tell me, okay, yeah, sure, but tell me more. I want to know more. Don't just tell me the big print. Show me the little print. Well, it's also admitting that we are what? Sinners, right? That we are guilty and that we deserve punishment. And sometimes that's a struggle for us, isn't it? To admit that we are broken. to admit that we have struggles. Some of you say, well, yeah, no, it's easy. Or some of you say, it's hard. But for me, it was really hard. Because many times I was a pretty good kid. I did the right, you know, basic good things. I didn't, you know, do anything terrible in my life. So it's even harder when you actually think you see of yourself as a relatively good person to realize your own brokenness, to realize your own need of God. It's a struggle sometimes. But secondly, we also need, Christ took upon himself our punishment upon himself, and his body was broken for us. You know, I have something for you. The deacons are going to be passing out something. Because I wanted you to really, to visualize this. And the deacons have something that I want them to hand out this time. And I want you to take it. And I want you to hold it for a second. Don't do anything with it. I know you maybe have some temptation to do different things with it. But please hold on to it. And as they're passing it out, hold on to it. And I'll tell you what I want you to do with it. Okay? So this time they'll be passing out. Everyone should take one. Now, what you're getting is a popsicle stick. But on that popsicle stick is the name Jesus. And I was working, because this, you know, I think we're talking about being broken, right? Broken. And for me, it's something that's kind of, oh, it's abstract. It's kind of like, it's over here. But when you have something in your hands and you take it and you go, this is broken. And I want you to take a moment when you get it to just look at the name Jesus. Imagine him as a man who left the kingdoms of this world, the great heaven and of its power and glory, and he came to this world. He had a mother who loved him, brothers that eventually got to love him, but he was loved by many people, and he came to this world for us, for you, and for me. This is a God who loves you so much. And yet he was broken in many ways by the choices that who makes? That we make. And so I want you to take a moment. And if you just take a moment and look at that and say, you know, repeat of yourselves and then break it. You were broken for me. Say that to yourself, and just, you were broken for me, and then I want you to break the stick in half. Jesus was broken for you and for me. And being broken is painful, but Jesus was broken. Jesus took our punishment upon ourselves. His body was broken for us, and he was broken for each and every one of us in a powerful way. And as you heard it, right? You heard the clap, click, 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 click. He was broken for everyone, wasn't he? Not just for one. Not just for two, but for everyone. And so that reverberating sound should catch your ear of how many people, you never lock eyes with someone that doesn't matter to God. Every single person here matters and is loved by God. And he died for every single person. He died for you. What a beautiful thing. We also see in number three, we accept his sacrifice for us, which provides forgiveness for our sins. Again, there's the freedom of choice. Yes, Jesus was broken, but you don't have to accept him. You don't have to. You have the freedom of choice, and that's what love is. If there's no freedom of choice, then there is no, how can that be love? But you have a choice to choose him, to accept his being broken for you today and every day. Also, that we are forgiven on the basis of Christ's sacrifice. Sometimes we try to go, if I do this, then I'll be higher in esteem with God, or maybe because I did this, I'm lower in esteem with God. But God says, I love you. Accept his sacrifice. We are forgiven on Christ's sacrifice. And also when God writes his laws, he writes them in our hearts, enables us. And many times we want to will ourselves to do the right thing. Look, if I just push enough will, I can do it. But God says, I want to change you. I want to change your heart so that you love different things, you care about different things. It can't just be an outward, oh, because if you're just trying to conform to be like, oh, I got to be like this, and there's no change of your heart, you know what you're going to be? Miserable. Completely miserable and if you're miserable in following Jesus, guess what? I tell you, you've missed it. You've missed what Christianity is about, of the changing of our hearts. Because God wants something so much more, and it comes out of our heart, and it's a blessing, and there's a great joy to serve him. Number six, every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we renew our commitment as God's redeemed people and accept it must be his ways and not our own. And that's one of the biggest things. My friends, Jesus died for you. He was broken for you. He was broken for me. And you've experienced that breaking. Hold on to those pieces. And while we're going through the service of humility and the foot washing, I want you to think about this for a moment. What, this question right here, what does Jesus being broken mean to you? What does it mean to you personally? And I want some people to share during the testimony time when we come back and we're sharing the bread and the juice. I want some people to share, what does Jesus being broken for you mean? Because it means something deep, I believe. There's quite an incredible depth there. And so I want you to think about that as we're separating for the foot washing. And there will be a sharing time, and I'd like some of you to share that.